This reading is Jesus speaking, and it is from Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1623. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Here ends our lesson. This is God's holy word.
Thanks
be to God. You may be seated. Thank you, Marie, for reading God's word for us this morning. Thank you, Joe, for helping to lead in worship. Thank you, choir, for your spontaneous solos this morning and helping to lead us in worship. It's wonderful to be able to do that. As we continue here in our Advent season, we are talking about this idea of joy, and joy is something that in our context, in our lives, is often, oftentimes, fairly fleeting. You can go from a joyous occasion to a joyous experience to an enjoyable experience in your life to minutes later having that joy, as we would understand it, taken away or swept away in just a matter of minutes. And that can happen In any situation. It can happen in incredibly tragic situations, or it can happen in the grocery line at Costco. Joy can be quickly snatched out of your frail grip at any moment in time. I remember this happening to me. It was 2014. Somewhere around June, July 2014, Trish and I were in Santa Cruz, California. And I was at the beach with some friends of ours on the boardwalk, and waves were coming in, beautiful day, joyous occasion. Trish was not there. She was with Aspen. We were with some other friends, and Savannah, here she is, just around 4 years old or so. Born in 2008, so 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 6 years old, quick math. And Denver is, you know, 2 years younger than she is, so he's 6 or so. And so here they are playing in the sand, and the waves are coming in, and it's gentle breeze. It's beautiful out, 85 degrees, entirely joyous occasion from a human perspective, entirely joyous. Nothing wrong, everything right. Enjoying all of what God has created for us. And as we begin to pack up to leave, the whole time I'd been keeping an eye on Denver here and an eye on Savannah right here. She was more towards the water. Denver was more inland on the sand. And as we're packing up ready to go, I'm looking at both of them, and then I just take a couple minutes to make sure that Denver's okay, and I'm kind of dusting him off, and I turn around, and Savannah is gone. Immediately my eyes start to scan the thousands of people who are on the beach, looking out into the ocean to see if there's anybody in the water who's struggling, looking down the beach this way, looking all around me, looking for Savannah, And in that moment, I can tell you, joy was quickly brought to frantic panic, searching for Savannah, searching for her. It's incredible how quickly joy, or some sense of joy, can be taken away from us, yeah? How quickly it can be taken away. What does this have to do with joy, you're wondering? Jess, this is a terrible way to start a sermon. This is a horrible way to start a sermon. Well, Jesus is going to talk about joy here. Jesus is going to talk about joy. But the way in which he's going to talk about joy is he's going to begin by telling a story, telling a parable about loss. About loss. And as he begins to tell the story about loss, he's going to reveal what the Father's heart is in the midst of loss, but he's also going to reveal what the Father's heart is in the midst of joy. In the midst of joy. And so we find ourselves here in Luke 15. And in Luke 15, Jesus is in the middle of telling a couple parables. The first parable that he tells here in Luke 15 is about sheep. Is about sheep. A shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of his little sheep, one of these little happy guys, decides to just kind of trot off by his own and go off and do his own thing, as sheep tend to do. Did you know that God compares us to sheep quite a bit? We tend to trot off and do whatever we really want to do. And so here's this comparison that Jesus is making and says, there's this shepherd who had 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off, and the shepherd goes after this sheep to find this sheep. Find the sheep. And then he tells a story of a coin, which we're going to jump into in detail. And then he tells the story of a father and a son. All together, all these parables working together in Luke 15. And so this morning we're going to talk about this parable that Jesus tells about the coin. The coin. And he says here in verse 8, he says, or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? Seek diligently until she finds it. Now, this idea of a coin here is probably a Greek coin called a drachma. It might be a Roman coin called a denarius. This is a denarius right here from the time that Jesus was walking on earth. This is the emperor at the time, and you have the emperor right here who has quite the nose on him. Not sure if anybody else noticed that, but here he is, Tiberius Caesar. Tiberius Schnazius Senior, no, he was not, no. Tiberius right here, Caesar. And this is Tiberius's mother on the other side of the coin. Isn't that nice? You got a picture of Tiberius, you got a picture of his mother, and on here, it says the high priest or the great priest is what it says on the back of that coin. When Jesus tells the parable of, or gives the example of, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to the Lord what is the Lord's, he would have been holding a coin just like this, just like that. So he tells this story and he says, here's a story of this woman who has 10 of these silver coins, and she loses one of these coins. She loses one of these coins. Now, one of these coins would be approximately the value of one day's wage. One day's wage. Now, she only has 10 of them. In other words, what she has in savings is about 10 days of wages. She would be living paycheck to paycheck, as it were, in our modern-day understanding. And so Jesus says, here she is, she's a woman here, and she loses one of these coins. Now, what is she going to do when she loses this coin? What's going to happen when she loses this coin? Jesus says this, she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and she seeks diligently for this coin. She begins to take all of the precautions necessary to find this coin, to find the coin, to seek out the coin, to reveal where the coin is, to chase after the coin, to find out where this coin may have gone. She is not going to leave any table, any stone, as it were, unturned. She's going to light a lamp. Why would she light a lamp? Well, probably as a woman of not very significant means, she lived more of in a peasant house, which probably didn't have windows. There were no windows. So as soon as she loses this coin, she begins to look around for it. She can't find it right away, and she begins to light every lamp that she has in the house. She wants to bring light into darkness. She wants to bring light into the midst of where things cannot be seen clearly. She wants to shine light into darkness that she might find that which she has lost. She's going to bring light into the situation. And the light has shined in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. She's going to shine light into the midst of darkness in order to find that which is incredibly precious to her. She's going to sweep. She's going to find her broom. She's going to begin the process of combing out the corners with a broom. She's going to become very diligent. There's not a single part of the house that will not be searched in an effort to find this coin. It's going to be a diligent search there. She's going to sweep the house and seek diligently for this coin. The idea here is that it is a thoughtful searching process. Incredibly thoughtful. It's the kind of search process where everything else gets put to the side. Everything else gets put to the back burner, as it were. Everything else is put on hold in her life. Her whole occupation, her whole purpose, her whole focus, the entirety of what her life is now bound up in is finding this coin. Finding this coin. Finding this thing that was so precious to her. All of her resources now are now pointed at the idea of finding this coin. And so she's going to make a careful search. It's a careful hunt. It's a thoughtful search for this coin. When Savannah disappeared, I immediately looked at Jake Schwartz, who was with me, and I said, I can't find Savannah. Jake was standing right next to me. His kids were right here. I'm here. Denver's here. Savannah's right there. And I look at Jake and I say, I can't find Savannah. I have no idea where she went. We're talking 30 seconds here. And all of a sudden, we dropped everything. We dropped everything, and we had one thing on our mind. We were going to search, seek, and find Savannah, no matter what. Nothing else happened up until that point. We had one thing in mind, one focus only. We were singularly focused on the idea that we were going to look for this little person. And so I looked at Jake and I said, I'm going to go this way, you go that way. Stay in this area and just keep looking for her. I'm going to walk down the beach, quarter mile down the beach. I'm going to start walking. I'm going to start looking for her. I walked in and out of people, behind people, up into the area where the boardwalk was. I was searching everywhere, every piece of sand. I was looking for her. There was no way that I was going to leave any part of that beach unchecked, unturned. I was going to do everything I could to find her. As I was doing that, the things that started rushing through my mind were, where is she right now? What's happening to her right now? Where could she possibly be? What could possibly be happening to her? And I just started praying. Lord, whatever's happening to her right now, help her to know that you love her. Help her to know that you are with her. Help her to know that you care for her. Help her to see the love of Jesus no matter what, no matter where she is, no matter what's happening in her life right now. Help her to know, Lord, please reveal to her how much you care for her, the depth of your loving kindness for this little girl. Please, whatever's happening to her right now, help her to know your love. But the search was on. And there was nothing that was going to stand in my way of searching for that little girl. Nothing. Nothing. That became the occupation of my heart because I loved her so, so much. That became the most important thing in my life at the time. I remember thinking to myself, what am I going to tell Trish if she calls? What am I going to tell her if she calls? She was with Aspen in the car. Aspen was only 6 months old at the time, 5 months old at the time. What am I going to tell her? So I searched and I prayed and I searched and I prayed and I searched and I prayed. Here you have this woman searching and searching and searching for that which is precious to her. The value of the thing in and of itself is actually not that great, but it's valuable to her. It's valuable to her. The value in the thing itself is not great, but it's of incredible value to her. So Jesus continues, after this diligent search, after this wonderful search, after this incredibly arduous search, this search that will not give up, this search that will never, ever decide to stop. What happens? Verse 9. And when she found it, when she found the coin, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Rejoice with me. Rejoice with me. She comes to her friends and she says, I want you to rejoice with me. I want you to have joy with me. I want you to come and celebrate with me. I desire that you would join it with me in the celebration of finding that which was so precious to me. Her joy is not enough to just be held into herself, to be experienced by herself. Her joy is not enough to just be in her own home. It's not enough for that joy to just be contained by herself. She calls out to her neighbors. She calls out to her friends, and she says, I desire that you would join with me in this incredible joy that I have, because I have found the coin. I have found that which is precious to me. I desire that you would come and that you would enjoy this finding of the coin. I desire this great joy to share with you. This is a heart-throbbing, dancing for joy, leaping out of your skin, heart-pounding joy. This is not just a, oh yeah, I'm kind of happy I found the thing. Have you ever found something and you're like, oh man, I was wondering where I put those extra pair of glasses? The other day, Trish and I were making our bed, or we were doing something, and I looked behind our bed and there was a pair of reading glasses that fell back behind the bed. How did those get back there? I don't know. Trish's like, I got a pair of reading glasses back there? Yeah, a pair of reading glasses back there. We're like, oh, okay, that's kind of cool. All right, well, it wasn't joyful necessarily. It was like, oh wow, that's kind of interesting. Huh. You ever found something like that? Like, oh, I was wondering where that was. This kind of a joy. It's a heart-bursting, heart-filling, heart-overwhelming kind of joy. And it's a joy that's so great that she can't keep it to herself. She says, I have this joy in finding something that was precious to me, and I cannot help but share my joy with others, and I desire that those around me would know the joy of finding that which was lost. Come rejoice with me. Come rejoice with me. For I have found the coin that I lost. This idea of found here, we talked about this maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. This idea of found here, it's the same word that we get eureka from. Eureka. People used to use the word eureka for? in California and in Alaska, when they would go hunting for gold, when they would go gold mining and they would find gold, what would they say? Eureka, I found it, right? With great joy. Same word, same idea. Finding with great joy and anticipation and hope after diligent search. Diligent search. How many people are distracted right now by Will Ferrell? Maybe I shouldn't have put that up there. You can be honest with me. Here's where it turns, though. Here's where it turns. Verse 10. This word, just so, in the same way, just as, in the exact same manner, in the exact same way that Jesus has just described to you, the search, the seek, the find, and the joy. Just as Jesus has just described it to you in this parable, he says this, just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What is Jesus saying here? What Jesus is saying here is that in the throne room of God, where there is no lack of joy, where there is no lack of peace, where there is no lack of consolation, sin has no place to dwell there, brokenness and death has no place to dwell there, in the throne room of God, right now, the angels are bursting forth in exuberant, joyous satisfaction and praise over the fact that right now there is somebody on this earth who is coming to know Jesus. It's happening right now. There is rejoicing going on right now before the throne of God. Isaiah 6, the angels are falling down and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." There is a joy right now in the heavens with the angels that is divine joy. It's an overwhelming joy. It's a flooding joy. It is a joy that absolutely bursts into creation. There is joy right now in the throne room of God as the angels celebrate the work of salvation that God is doing. Peter would say this in 1 Peter. He would say this about this. That this salvation, this good news that has been preached to you, believers, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, these are things that angels long to look into. Angels long to look into. You want to ask the question, what gets an angel's attention? The cherubim, the seraphim, the angels, all these hosts of heaven gathered around the throne of God right now. You want to ask the question, what gets their attention? When that little person, when that little boy, that little girl, that old boy, that old girl comes to know Jesus and the Spirit of God fills their heart and all of a sudden Jesus comes on the scene and they see him and they say, I love him more than anything else and I'm so thankful for who he is as my Savior. The angels burst into rejoicing. They can't contain themselves at the joy of seeing one of these little ones who once was lost, but now is found. They burst into joy, praise, adoration. It's divine joy. It's divine joy. It's the kind of joy that's described as Mary sees Jesus for the first time in the empty tomb. She runs to the disciples, jumping for joy. She can't contain her heart. She runs with joy to tell the disciples, I've seen the Lord. He is alive. He is risen. He is risen indeed. It's that kind of joy. It's the kind of joy that seeps deep into the recesses of the soul where only God can go. It's a joy that rejoices over the fact that God is still saving people even today. In China, in Korea, in Africa, South America, Beacon Falls, he's still saving people today. In Oxford, Derby of all places, he's saving people. Can you believe that God saves people in Derby? Kind of joy that causes a father to chase after that which has been lost. Just so I tell you that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Now, hold on a second. This says that there's joy before the angels. It doesn't say the angels are rejoicing. Are they? They are. But this says there's joy before the angels. What does that even mean? Well, the idea here is that there is joy in front of the angels. There's joy in the sight of the angels. There is joy that's happening right as the angels are viewing it. There is joy that is happening before the angels that is a divine joy. There is a joy that is immeasurable. There is a joy that cannot be found out to be its depth or its height or its breadth or its length. There is a joy that is happening in the throne room of God when one of these little ones are found. Whose joy is that? That is the Heavenly Father's joy. It is the Heavenly Father who is leading the charge in this joy. It is the Father's joy that bursts forth. It is the Father's heart that is rupturing into creation. It is the Father's joy that is leading to the joy of the angels. It is the Father's joy that is the fountainhead of all joy when he sees these ones coming to him, realizing who he is. When he finds one, his heart bursts with joy. Divine joy. Continual celebration of joy. Do you realize this morning that when you came to know Jesus, your Heavenly Father threw a party for you? He threw a party for you by name. By name. This one, Lois, has met me through the Holy Spirit. We're going to rejoice. Lois was once, but now she is found. And your Heavenly Father's heart explodes in joy. And the angels fall down and they worship, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, in incredible, reverent joy. They celebrate together. They celebrate. Does his joy give you joy? Does his joy give you joy? He is the fountain of joy. Richard Sibbes would say this, that God is the fountain of all goodness. His goodness issues out of him as a fountain issues out water. He is the fountain of joy. He rejoices. You say, Jess, is this really what is being said here, is this really the Father's joy? Are you sure about that? Well, if you take the three parables together, the first parable is the shepherd with the sheep. The shepherd with the sheep, there's one sheep that wanders off, and the shepherd goes and finds the sheep, and it says that there is, verse 7, chapter 15, just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven. More joy in heaven. Big picture, joy in heaven, right? And then we see in verse 10 that there's joy before the angels. Joy before the angels, right? When you get to the parable of the prodigal son, whose joy is it? It's the father's joy. As he sees the son while he's still a ways off. And he leaps for joy off of his front porch and runs down the path to meet the son. And what does he do when he meets the son? He embraces the son and hugs the son and weeps with the son and says, my son who once was lost, who once was dead, is now alive. And he embraces him. And you see what's happening with the people in the background. What are they doing? They're rejoicing. They're rejoicing. Your heavenly Father loves to save people. He loves to save people. How do we know that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. When I found Savannah, incredible joy, incredible peace, incredible consolation. I remember getting down on my knees and taking her little face and saying, I am so thankful, I love you. If anything ever like this ever happens again, you are in big trouble. No, I didn't say you're in big trouble. I said, pray. Sweetie, just pray. Ask God to fill your heart with his love. Ask God to fill your mind with his peace. Ask God to fill you with his goodness, his mercy, his kindness, his grace. Just pray and lean on the Lord and chase after the Lord. If anything like this ever happens again, cry out to the Lord. Just cry out to him. But the joy of finding that which was once lost for 20 minutes and then was found was unimaginable. I could not have gone home without her. Couldn't have gone home without her. How much more your heavenly Father's joy when he finds one of his little ones, whether they're little being 80 or little being 8, how much more your Father's joy when he gets down on his knees and he takes you by your little face and he says, I have loved you. You can call out. There is joy before the angels of God. Joy before the angels of God. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for the height and the breadth and the depth and the length of your love. Father, we are so thankful that even right now there is rejoicing going on in the throne room. As your son is seated next to you, as there are those who continue to come to you professing their faith in you as you reveal yourself through your Holy Spirit, there is continuous joy. Father, that issues from you, that issues from your Son, and inhabits heaven. So, Father, we are thankful that you are that kind of God. Lord, may our hearts be filled with your joy this Christmas season as we remember that you sent your Son to this earth. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated with you. That you sent him to this earth that you might seek and save that which is lost. Oh, the joy. Father, may we taste and see that you are good. May you remind us of your steadfast love in the morning, that we may rejoice in you all of our days. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.